Welcome back to our study of Deuteronomy. We are in chapter 14, and we're going to be picking up with verse 27. So I'm going to just jump right in. And the Levite that was within thy gates, thou shalt not forsake him, for he hath no part nor inheritance with thee. At the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thy increase the same year, and shall lay it up within thy gates. And the Levite, because he hath no part nor inheritance with thee, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow, which are within thy gates, shall come and shall eat and be satisfied, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hand which thou doest.
How many times?
See what?
We were checking it out. We've been having a problem with one cutting in and out. Just pardon the interruption. How is that?
That's fine.
Well, what I was saying is, if you noticed how many times through this book of Deuteronomy, and this is just the 15th chapter, or 14th chapter, that Moses has emphasized how important it is for the rest of the nation of Israel to take care of the Levites. In other words, for the other 12 tribes to take care of the Levites, because they did not get a portion of land. So their inheritance is in the tithe and offerings that they bring to the tabernacle. Now, another thing to look at here is he mentions every third year, which is different than the normal tithing, bringing your offering. Of course, you do that on a regular basis, but every third year, the tithe was brought forth to be stored as, let me say it this way, sort of a benevolent fund, not only to feed the Levites, but for the widows, the orphans, and also for the foreigners. And this is people who were not able to provide for themselves. You understand? God had never incorporated anything in the law for the freeloaders, the lazy and sorry people. Is that plain enough?
Mm-hmm.
But for the poor people that could not help themselves, God did make provision to where they could be fed. And that's what this is all about. And so, not only did they tithe the third year and bring it in, but they tithe every year, 10%, and that's what tithe means, if you want to look it up by definition, is the tenth of the Lord. You can find this in Leviticus 27, verses 33. And the third year was designated for the foreigners, the widows, and the orphans. So, bringing the 10% to the officials, which would be the priests, who are responsible for proper distribution of that. And this is what the Lord set up. Now, I think we got into this maybe in the last session, how people say that New Testament, you don't tithe in the New Testament. And yet God says, I'm God, I change not. Tithe was before the Old Testament, tithe in Moses, tithe with Jacob, and it was incorporated into the Old Testament. And the tithe is a means for God to bless you. And even in the Old Testament, you could go eat the tithe before the Lord. In other words, the Lord's using it to bless you. Why would you withhold from the Lord? Now, if the 10% is the Lord, it's never yours. And that's why in Malachi chapter 3, he said you've robbed God. Boy, you can't rob someone of something that's not theirs, right? And so that tithe was the Lord. So if these people did not bring the tithe into the storehouse, as it said, then they're actually robbing God. And so 90% of their crops was theirs. 90% of their herds or their flocks, that's theirs. And so that's pretty generous when you think about it. God giving you 90 and him taking 10. And then out of your own heart, your love for God, you give the free will offering. You understand? And I don't believe that this is diminished. We're under a new covenant, better covenant, established on better promises. And so if God was worthy of that in the Old Testament, is he not worthy of that in the New Testament? And he tells us that how we give is how we receive. You sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, set down, shaken down, pressed together, running over. Men give to your bosom. And so don't just look at this as all law. Here's what God's wanting, and we'll get into this a little later on. God was wanting the Israelites under the old covenant to live by faith. God wants us as born-again believers under the new covenant to live by faith. But so often we see the law as works, not understanding that those works was to be stimulated by faith, but Israel reduced those things to works without faith, just going through the motions like people in church do today. Instead of operating with faith, well, you know, we're supposed to do this, we're supposed to do that. So they're not given out of a heart that is passionate toward God. They do things out of duty. Well, it's Sunday, I got to go to church, you know, out of duty, not wanting to desire to be with the Lord. You understand? And so we have to realize what this is all about, what it's pointing to. We have type pointing to, and that's what this Pentateuch is all about, okay? And so God, if he was worthy of receiving the tithe in the old covenant, I believe he's worthy to receive it in the new covenant.
Now, as we move into chapter 15, this chapter documents laws regarding the release of debt, the release of the Hebrew slave, the setting apart of the firstborn of the livestock for the Lord, the prohibition of sacrificing to the Lord firstborn livestock with a physical defect, permission to eat in the cities of Israel firstborn livestock that had a physical defect, and the prohibition of eating blood. Verse 1. At the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. Of a foreigner thou mayest exact it again, but that which is thine with thy brother thine hand shall release. Save when there shall be no poor among you, for the Lord shall greatly bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it. Only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all these commandments which I command thee this day.
So every 7 years, at the end of every 7 years, these lenders who had, where people had been indebted to them, they were to be released from their debt every 7 years. So in reality, what they're doing is buying. Now, this is Hebrew, not for foreigners. This is only for the Hebrew, okay? And so that Hebrew who has sold himself for whatever reason, he can't afford something, and so this person is buying him, we would say loaning today, but buying him, but at the end of the seventh year, that debt is released. Now, you'll find later on, he warns them, don't say because the seventh year is close at hand, I'm not going to give them any money, I'm not going to do this. No, you take care of the poor of the land. And here again, I reiterate, the poor of the land who can't help themselves. You with me? Because what we have in this society today is people, it's not that they can't help themselves. They don't want to. They're either strung out on grudge, they're criminals and all this. So, you know, I am all for helping people who can't help themselves. But I'm not going to support the criminal. I'm not going to support the lazy guy. You understand? And, you know, it is not the responsibility of the church to take care of people who won't take care of themselves. You follow me? And I'll try to back off of this, but I'm very passionate about that because of experiences that I've had right here in this city where people are living off of the churches. They've learned that if they can go from this church to this church to this church to this church, that they can make more money than they can working a public job. Like many years ago, one particular guy lent me $1,200 a week going from a church to a church. So that's pretty good tax-free money. And so there has to be wisdom. And the people who are responsible for distributing, then they have to understand this, okay? Now, in this case here, with the person who is in a legitimate need, you're buying that person, you're actually buying his labor for these 7 years. But when that seventh year comes around, then you have to release it. And then you'll find you don't send him away empty-handed. You bless him. He's been a blessing to you. You be a blessing to him. And the law of release was God's way of keeping the economy of Israel stable. It's actually pretty ingenious when you think about it. Of course, God is. But this law prevented the wealthy from taking over the economic system of Israel. So every 7 years, these poor Israelites were given the opportunity to come out from under financial bondage. Right? You understand that the borrower is servant to the lender. That means you're in bondage. So every 7 years you could come out from under that bondage. That would keep things balanced. And then obviously they had the year of Jubilee, which was even a greater degree of releasing because you get your property back, your possessions back then. God had an excellent economic system.
One of the things that we were talking about this afternoon was how God's economic system is so very different from how man treats one another today, and really just contrary to the fact. If somebody owes money, I'm going to get every dime of that back, and I'm going to charge you an exorbitant interest rate on top of that to penalize you for what you need. The other thing that I see in this that we talked about this afternoon from my perspective, what I see in this law is I see the character of God shining through here. I see how this points to our release from a debt that we couldn't pay. I see how what the Lord has done with this law that dealt with the natural man, how it all points to the spiritual character that he wants exhibited in us and through us. I'm going to forgive you. Now I want you to forgive other people. I'm going to love you. I want you to love other people. I'm going to release you from a debt you couldn't pay. Now I want you to release other people's debt. Whoever sins you remit, I'll remit. Remember that in John chapter 20? You think about just the whole character of God in this law. It's astounding to me. And Pete talked about earlier that to fulfill this law, it had to be done. You had to operate in faith. You had to walk by faith. I take you back to what we learned in Leviticus. With the, do you remember the seventh year was a year of rest for the land? You weren't to plant anything on that seventh year. But here's the promise that the Lord made to you. You obey my commandments. And I'm going to make sure in that sixth year, you're going to have enough crops to sustain you through that sixth year, that seventh year, and enough to get you going until crops produce again in that new cycle. That's faith, you understand. That is living by faith, walking by faith. How about you need to release somebody that owes you a debt? You release them free and clear. Not only that, you bless him along the way. You give to him. What if that debt hadn't been paid in full? What then? You release them anyway. You do good to them anyway. We're going to keep reading and we're going to find out how. Here's the character of God. I'm going to bless you to set you up and put you in a position to bless other people. We see that right here in this old covenant, in this law. Isn't that an amazing thing? One of the things that Pete pointed out is so obvious, but reminded me, God doesn't change. How about that? Same yesterday as he is today, as he'll be tomorrow and forever. The very same. So this character that we see in the law that he's put into place, his character that I can see, he hasn't changed. Isn't that an amazing thing? We serve an awesome God, don't we? We serve a God who operates in love and with love, and that's exactly how he wants us to operate.
You know, God didn't change from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and so many people today have the idea that God has changed. No, God never changes. He used a different method. He used, for instance, animal sacrifices in the Old Testament and the shedding of the blood of the innocent to cover the guilty, which is pointing to what he was going to do with Jesus, to shed the blood of the innocent who would bear the penalty of the guilty. But as all that is, this is what this law is all about. It's showing you what's required of man, what man couldn't do, pointing to the fact that we all need a Savior, and what Jesus did have the ability to do, and what Jesus has done for humanity. But God didn't change from the old to the new. Right? Aren't you glad he's consistent?
Yes.
Yeah, if he wasn't consistent, how could you trust him? That's how we can live by faith. That's how we can walk by faith, because God has an impeccable track record. He's always been a God of consistency, a God of truth, and it hasn't changed from old to new. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Verse 6, for the Lord thy God blesseth thee, as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow, and thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee.
You think about this, of obedience to God, you don't have to seek blessing. Obedience to God will bring the blessing to you. And you know, a lot of the messages today, a lot of churches today are leading people through confessions of, you know, God bless and all this type thing. God blesses obedience. If you look at Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, which we'll get to eventually, okay, you'll find that the blessing came on the people who obeyed God. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell you to seek the blessing. It tells you to obey, and the blessing seeks you. And so he has this laid out in example in the Old Testament. You obey me, I'll make you the head, not the tail. I'll have you as the lender and not the borrower. We were talking about this earlier today, and, you know, I remember when the United States was the lender to the nations, not the one that's most in debt, because the nation as a whole recognized God as God. You had the prayer in schools. We had devotion before we started class and all these type things. In other words, you're exalting God. And what did God do? God blesses. We didn't pray for God to bless us. You obey God and you incur the blessing of God. And so if you want to be blessed, just do what God says. Do it His way. Don't tell Him how to do it. You do what He's already said. Okay? And then these things will happen. And, you know, I mentioned the borrower is servant to the lender, but you can find that in Proverbs 22:7, where He actually tells you that. Which would you rather be, the lender or the borrower?
The lender.
Well, at least one's with me here, okay. No. We would rather be in the position to give than to be in the position to always have our hands out. And see, this society is so warped in its thinking. It's hands out. Give me. Give me. Give me. You know, you get so many calls into the church. Give me. Give me. Give me. I had a lady she got mad at me. She actually hung up on me. Wanting money from the church for such and such a thing, and I said, ma'am, that's not what we do here. We're a spiritual organization, and that you know we're not just a charitable organization that does all this, that, and the other. Well, I thought that was what the church was for. Well, I said, well, you've been misinformed. The church is a spiritual organization. Our responsibility is to give you Jesus. And I said, besides, where do you think a church gets its money? Have you given to the church? You hang up on. People have the wrong idea. And you know, we hear so much about entitlement. You don't want what you deserve. We'd all go to hell. I'll guarantee you, you don't want God to give you what you deserve. But God will give to us what we don't deserve because of what Jesus has done. You understand? But He does that so He can get good representation in the earth. You see, we are here as the body of Christ. And I have to use the word body of Christ, because if I say church, people go the wrong direction. You know, you can have a church of Satan. You understand? And all these religious organizations, the political organizations. Okay? I'm not talking about people who's in this for them, how many empires they can build, how many people can they get, how much prestige do they have. I'm talking about the body of Christ who is representing the Lord Jesus Christ on earth, that's carrying on the ministry that Jesus started. See, that's what He's looking for out of the body. So He blesses us so we can be a blessing to other people. I want you to think about Jesus. Was He the giver or the taker? Who went about doing good, healing all those oppressed of the devil because God was with him? Right? You'll find that Jesus was a giver. And so the body of Christ is to be a giving body. You follow me? Now, people took care of Jesus. And if you're giving out, God's going to take care of you. Mama used to tell me, you'll never outgive God. You can't outgive God. But you don't give to get. And that's where I have a problem with this hyper-prosperity message today. People are, they have the wrong motive. They want to give to feed the flesh. This is not about flesh. This is about spirit. The church is a spiritual entity, not some natural entity to see what it can do for self. It's not a self-centered organization, or it's not supposed to be, not the body of Christ. And so we are looking to be a blessing to God. So God blesses us so we can be a blessing. And it's a reciprocal. It's to continue that way. Where the kingdom of God just keeps growing and growing and growing. Where God is dominating. The Spirit's dominating, not the flesh. You with me? I've been the warrior. And I thank God for the revelation that got me free from the bondage. And I thank Him for the year of release, for the jubilee, for the whole ball of wax, okay? I know by experience that this works. But I know it works because God can't lie to you. And His Word says it does. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Verse 7. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thy heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. But thou shalt open thy hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need and that which he wanteth.
Now here's a key word in there called brother. Mm-hmm. You understand? I don't call sinners brothers. You understand? A brother means we're in the same family. You have to keep that in perspective here. So he said, don't ignore a poor brother. If you see a person that has a need and you have the ability to meet that need, then meet the need. And it's not, don't just hold that to money. It can be with your skills, with your ability. You see a person needs something done, then do that for that person. Help them. Be a blessing. And I'm telling you, there's so many out here that I know personally, widows that have worked all their life and hard workers. And then they age out. People don't want them anymore. They've retired now. And the income that they get is not sufficient enough to get them through the month. So if you know that, then help them. If something is something that they need done around their house, help them. You understand? Be compassionate toward people. Be as compassionate toward people as you want the Lord to be compassionate toward you. It's really what we call the golden rule.
Yeah.
Do unto others as you would have them to do to you. You want kindness, sow kindness. You understand? You want help, sow help. Okay? So don't forget the poor brother among you.
Verse 9. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him not, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works, and in all that thou puttest thine hand unto. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thy hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, and to thy needy in the land.
Now I want you to get a picture of what he's saying here. We're talking about, still talking about, the year of release, the seventh year, the year of release, okay? And so you're coming up on the fifth year. And you see a brother that is poor and in need. You say, well, if I do this, I mean, I'm only going to get 2 years of, I'm only going to get 2 years of labor out of him. So I may be the loser on this. See, that's a greed mentality. Mm-hmm. And God calls it wicked. Mm. And he said, don't you have that wicked thought that the seventh year is at hand to where you're going to release? Because the poor cry out to the Lord, and the Lord will hear him when he cries out, and then the Lord will take care of this injustice. You understand, we all have a righteous judge that we'll stand before. And so if he cries out, then the person who didn't meet that need can be charged by God for not meeting that person's need. Okay? I'm telling you that I don't think any of us has a real conscious awareness of how important it is to follow the promptings of the Spirit of God, especially in meeting others' needs in whatever they may be. It can be finances. It can be in prayer. It can be encouragement. It can be in healing and things of this nature. I think I've told you, but I think it bears repeating. Many years ago, I prayed for people and laying hands on people, which was just the way we ministered. And oftentimes the Spirit of God, the power of God would be very strong. And, people may fall out. And then the suggestion was made that to me that I might be operating with the power of the devil. And it bothered me to the point that I said, to myself, I won't do that anymore. I'll stop that accusation, okay? And I was invited by a friend of mine in another state to come and speak one Sunday morning. And he was a very good friend of mine. And he knew me. He knew the way I ministered. And he, which was totally out of character, I didn't quite understand. But when we agreed on when I was coming and all that, he said, "Now I'm going to tell you in advance that my people don't fall." I thought, they're not going to fall with me because I'm not going to pray for them. I mean, that's just what I'm thinking. And so I get up there, and I gave what God gave me, and I was off of that platform before they realized I was through, because I'd already made up my mind. I'm not going to minister to laying on hands. I'm not going to give anybody in the room to accuse me. You know what that is? It's self-centered. It's pride. And Sherry was standing there, and all of a sudden I knew by the Spirit she had something for the church. And I said, "Did you have something for this church?" "Well, I might know. Do you?" And so I just stopped. They were getting ready to dismiss. And I said, "She has something for the church." And so she goes up there and she says, "There's some people in here that you need healing. And if you'll come up here, Pete will lay hands on you." I thought, "You lay hands on them yourself. You call them out, then you pray for them." And I had to repent fast. And anyway, long story short, those three ladies responded, and the first lady got laid hands on, fell out. The second lady didn't, but boy, I felt the power of God go into that woman. the third lady fell out on the floor. I thought, well, they do fall, you know. But anyway, sometime later, I saw my friend, and he said, did you remember? And he called the lady by name. Well, I didn't know their name. I said, no. He said it was the lady that didn't fall. I knew exactly who he was talking about. He said, do you know that God healed that woman of malignant cancer that morning? And like my knees got weak. I thought, I came that close for that woman missing her healing. You understand? I'm telling you, when God moves on your heart, you do it. Don't you worry about what people say. And I made up my mind then, you can accuse me of whatever you want to, but from now on, I will obey God. You understand? I'm not going to cost somebody their healing or worse. You understand? And so we do have something to give. So I give you Jesus. Amen. And that's what it's all about. All right, we're going to have to stop and take a break. We'll come back. All right.